Blog Talk Radio.
So amazing, so amazing. Your love for us is overwhelming. How awesome is our God? So amazing, so amazing. It's overwhelming. Awesome is our God.
All right. Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing out there? Good evening, great people. I tell you, it's another day that the Lord has kept us, and we are so thankful. We made it through the Thanksgiving weekend. We made it. And another day to give thanks unto God. We don't just wait for a day in November, but we give thanks to God every day. And so we're glad that you're here with us today. We want to say welcome to our newcomers and welcome back to the past listeners and friends of the Ladies Lounge Radio Talk Show. This name has been changed to Miss G's Lady Lounge. We want you to keep that name in mind, Miss G's Ladies Lounge. Yes, today we are so excited to have you. We do serve an amazing God, and we have amazing people of God. Hallelujah. So I'm not sure if you're driving home from work. I'm not sure if you're heading out somewhere special, if you're sitting in your recliner or just laying back, but whatever you are doing, stop and take a moment to breathe. Relax and put your mind at ease. Let us do the talking, and you can take a moment to listen, because this is your relaxation station, and we're here to make your day. Now, before we do anything, you know how we do it, ladies and gents. Let's say prayer. Yes, our God and our Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, another day that you've given us to open our eyes to see, to open our ears to hear, to move our limbs. And we thank you for these blessings that you have given us. We thank you for the protection that you have provided. We thank you for the many open doors and the many ways that you've made. And we thank you for each and every one of our sisters and our brothers. And we pray today that you would help us to find unity and love as we share with one another in this time, that someone will be positively affected by this segment, and we give your name praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I don't know if you've gotten yourself relaxed and sitting back. I'm telling you, we have such an awesome woman of God that is joining us on today, and you want to make sure that you hear every word that she has to say. We're talking about none other than the Elder Jane Cottrell. And Elder Cottrell, she hails from Brooklyn, New York originally, but she is now stationed in Atlanta, Georgia, I believe. And so we are so glad to have her with us. She grew up there in Brooklyn, the eldest of six daughters. And she has a twin sister who is also anointed. We could have had the whole family on this show, and I'll tell you, it would have been just something exciting just to hear from all of them and the special gifts and the special talents that they all share. But Elder Jane is with us today. She has matriculated at the New York City Technical College. Hey, I went there too. And she is a graduate of the Katherine Gibbs Business School and presently pursuing her degree in Business Administration, Office Technology. She accepted Christ at an early age, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost at Victory Temple Church of God in Christ in Brooklyn, New York, under the leadership of the late Bishop Isaac George Glover. And at the tender age of 9, she and her twin sister were blessed by their pastor and were appointed as aspiring missionaries. Now, that's an early start, y'all. After the death of their father, her mother returned to her home church, which was King's Temple Church of God in Christ in Hempstead, New York. And there she sang with the anointed recording choir, King's Temple Choir, and the late Elder Benny Cummings singer. She's also served in various positions, to name a few, in the local church, as well as the district and state level. And she was the district president of music in jurisdiction number 4 of Eastern New York under the presiding prelate, Bishop David Grayson, the state choir director under the recording artist, the late Pastor Timothy Wright, and the personal secretary of the state supervisor of women, Supervisor Mother Sandra L. Taylor. Now, she's got a whole lot more going on here, and I'm going to bring her on the line, and then I'm going to bring some more information in because we don't want to prolong the time. We want to make sure that she has enough time to tell you her own story. Are you there, Elder Jane?
Yes, I am, Lady Gwen.
Oh, my
Thank you
goodness.
So
hey.
Listen, God bless
we're
you.
So excited. Yes, we're so excited to have you on with us today. I mean, I can just keep going on and on with this bio. You have so much. You served, you know, as a co-pastor and a pastor's wife also of the Third Christian Church of
yes.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for 9 years.
Yeah.
And you were then directed to relocate to Georgia in 1999. So we've got so much to talk about, and I don't want to take out too much time, as I said, but I want you to tell the people, just give us a quick overview of who Jane Cottrell is.
Ah, well, God
yeah.
bless you, Lady Gwen. We go back way back. Thank
way
the Lord.
Back.
Yes, and thank you so much for thinking of me to come on this radio talk show. It's just an honor. It's a privilege, humbly. And I'm just a servant of God. You know, I'm not caught up in titles. I want to please God, and that's what's important to me. And I just thank God for, you know, being alive in this day and time, the time that we're living in. You know, it's just a blessing, and it's an honor that God has chosen us. I mean, speaking of
yes.
you also, you know, where he has
My
brought
God.
Us from, you know, to think, you know, as we were growing up, that who was to say that we would see 50 plus, you know? After 1999,
yeah.
it was like, okay, it's
right.
over. But the Lord knew what he was doing as we were coming up,
okay.
you know, under, they call it strict, you know, teaching. But
right.
God had
yes.
a plan for our lives. We couldn't see it, and we didn't understand it at the time. But now we do
mm-hmm.
understand why, because he was preparing us, equipping us
yes.
for such a time as this. And I give God a praise.
Yeah.
I'm just... me, you know, a mother of 7 beautiful children,
Ooh.
You know, 7 was not my plan, but I just bless God, you know, 5 sons and 2 daughters, you know, ages from 18 to 36, and I praise God that the Lord, you know, allowed me to raise them. They've been raised in the church, and, you know, I'm pursuing, like, my education and, you know, my vision is to have a safe haven for battered women and children, and
okay.
and a school that, yes, a school that is, you know, while mothers are in transition, that they can also receive their education training for those that do not have any type of skills, you know, so this way
okay.
they can be prepared to go back out there. But, you know, God has been good to me. He brought me from a long way. I make things that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Time would not be enough to tell it. I'm working on my book. I stopped procrastinating,
okay.
and the Lord has just put fire.
Wow.
You know, for me to write this book, and it's called I Was Chosen to Suffer but Anointed to Surmise. And who knows, I may add on as far as the topic, Chosen to Suffer but Anointed to Surmise. You know, we have our plan
yeah.
of what we're going to do in life. You know, but then, you know, God has another plan, and sometimes we can detour from the plan that God had for
mm-hmm.
us. But I
okay.
just praise
so
God.
Where did this... Go ahead. Where did this book come
no,
out of? What, I mean, where did this
well,
book birth from within you? Were there life experiences, or, you know, is it just something that you wanted to do according to someone else's life? Is this your own life?
Yes, well, this is birthed out of experience, what I experienced 18 years ago. Wow, it's been that long. From the experience mm. that I encountered, I never dreamed I would encounter
okay.
domestic violence in my life because I didn't see that, you know, as I was growing up, you know, the time that I had my father
okay.
and my mother, and I didn't know what domestic violence was. Like I said, I never seen that, but this is birthed out of experience to share with women, you know, and men. I don't want to leave the men out because
okay.
you have men also that are in domestic violence. You know, they won't come out, you know, because, you know, male egos, you know, to say a woman is abusing
right.
me. But this book is for
right.
everybody, but more particularly to
okay.
women that we see that are in domestic violence and it has become, it has increased tremendously, you know, now even among
mm.
our teenage girls. You know, with
yes.
domestic violence.
Yes.
So the Lord gave me this book. I never thought I would be writing a book, but this is out of experience
mm-hmm.
of what I've been through while I was married as a pastor's wife. Because you have
oh,
so
goodness.
Many. Yeah, as a pastor's wife, we have women in the church, and I'm going to talk basically in the church because we know what's going on outside in the world. But
right,
this book is
right.
to reach the church as well as the world as a whole, and but we know there's domestic violence in the church, and we kind of sweep it up under the rug. We want to cover it. We want to pray through it, but we have to deal with it. We have to address it because it's not just happening
wow.
among pastors' wives, but it's happening among deacon wives, brother-in wives, you know.
Mm.
And
mm-hmm.
So this is how this book is being birthed out of experience. And I got on page 7, but I tried to curtail the truth, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord stopped
uh-huh.
me. He blocked, you know, what I was supposed to write because I'm supposed to tell the truth. Sometimes
yes.
telling the truth can be very painful, but it's going to help
yes.
deliver and heal someone else.
Right. So we just came out of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and at my church, we had an event. My pastor's actually on one of the boards for domestic violence, and that's so awesome to have a male, you know, that is actually interested in and that is fighting for women, you know, that are in that particular situation. And so
absolutely.
He opened up and allowed, you know, them to come in and do a setting because there's a lot of people that just don't know. They just think that,
no.
you know, everybody in the church and they were talking about people in and out of the church, but a lot of people think that everybody inside of the church, you know, is just having a great day, you know, and then not
exactly.
dealing with anything because they come to church and they shout and they praise the Lord and then, you know,
it's
they don't know
over.
What happens
uh-huh.
when they go home. Yeah.
Exactly.
So this book is going to help a lot. Yeah.
Yes, it is. And I just told the Lord, give me what to say, you know,
mm-hmm.
to the people out there that are dealing with it because women that are in domestic violence, sometimes they feel like they end it by themselves. And when I often hear
right.
the symptoms, I'm like, oh, my God, I was there.
Right.
I was there. I was there. And particularly ministers' wives, because of what they have to face, you can't trust anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to sit there. People
mm-hmm.
understand. They see pastor's wife all dolled up, bling-blinged, you
right,
know, with the
right.
hats and everything, and don't know that when they get home, they're going to get their butts whipped. And I'm just saying it like it is, and I can be real, you know.
Right, right.
And we have to pray. Yes, we do pray. We have to pray for the abusers because you have to recognize
mm-hmm.
what causes this abuser to abuse women. And for myself, if
right.
I may share this, for myself, like I said, my father, I've never seen my father abuse my mother, you know, and, you know, we just didn't see that, you know, and I'm quite sure back in that day there was a lot of abuse, but there were not people to advocate for battered women. And as a pastor's wife, let me put a pin in that. The bottom line is, ladies, when we have to, and ladies, we have single ladies. You have to hear somebody. You have to listen to someone. Not only that, you have to ask God, is this man for me? You know, and a lot of times women don't want to hear, you know, the wrong answer from God.
Absolutely.
They don't want to wait. They feel like there's not enough men because you have men that are homosexuals or down low or in jail and so forth. You know, they're like, just a piece of man. I don't want a piece of a man because whatever he's going to be for me. You know, and we have to listen to our covering, our shepherd, whether it be a woman of God or a man of God. And because they're our leader and if they see that, no, this is not right for you, you know, wait on God. A lot of them think they tell them, don't marry him. 9 times out of 10, they do. Because it's for your benefit. It's to help you. And that's what happened to me. I did not hear. I did not obey.
Right.
And it almost cost me my life.
Right.
I don't care how they come, preachers or whatever. You know, we have to hear what God is saying.
Got to hear. So did you have people in your life that were speaking to you? And, you know, you don't have to go into too much detail, but did you have people that were actually speaking to you and trying to help you make this decision prior to your getting married?
I did, particularly my pastor. And when he tried to tell me, you know, I was upset because I felt like, you know, how can he tell me? You know, and, you know, how can you tell me? I was just upset. And I went on to do what I had to do, and it cost me my life. But the Lord didn't allow me to die in my situation. He did not allow
me to die.
He's a plan
Thank
for me.
God.
And it's a
You know, one of the other things that I think about is a lot of people, you know, they don't want to hear from. Single people don't want to hear from married people. Well, you married, you got somebody.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
It's because
you go home to somebody.
Because they see the coming in holding hands and, you know, all the other perks that seem to come with it, but they don't know what happens behind those closed doors. And
exactly.
So that's a big thing, too. So how did you overcome the domestic violence and the losses and the emotional trauma that you suffered?
Well, if I just may share this because some women don't know my testimony or some people haven't heard, and I'm just quickly going to share a little bit of it, you know, where the Lord brought me from and how I was delivered because it was God when it wasn't my luck, you know, it was God that delivered me
out
of abuse. And I'm talking about abuse where I was attacked with a metal baseball bat until the ring in my finger, it was embedded. They had to cut the ring out of my flesh and broke my left leg. I was attacked with a hammer at 6 months pregnant. I was kicked down the steps, and I was sexually abused. I was mentally abused, even after church. You know, just dealing with being beat with a 2x4 human waste in my face.
Jesus.
Food off the floor, you know, lost everything. Come home, my clothes was cut up. Everything that I worked hard for, lost a good job, was isolated from my family. But let me tell you something. I had to recognize that man did not save me. God saved me.
That's right.
And in spite of what I had to go through, it was the hymns, you know, when I had to, you know, because we sing, it was the hymns that fit to my spirit. And it was the word of the Lord, 91st Psalm, that said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High had to deal with.
Yes.
I had to deal with mental abuse, called names, every name of the child of God. But yet, I had to stand in that pulpit and act like everything was all good. No one knew what I had to deal with because of the abuse. And yet, I was angry, know, but I tell the Lord, I said, God, if you're ignoring me, I'm going to yet give you the praise. And it was the prayer plus praise that gave me power and strength. As you can hear my grandson in the back, that gave me strength to go through.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, the thing
my
that I've dealt with for 10 years, Gwen, I lost 10 years of my life. From 30 to 40, I was in hell. But in the midst of it, God kept me. He stripped me. Yes,
my
he did. Because you know, I had it going on. I had the bling bling and the hats and, you know, and the clothes and stuff. But God stripped me. My God. Oh, my Lord. Let me stop you because I know we got to go. But it was God that kept my mind. You know, I had the opportunity to dip out, you know, and because of the way I was being treated and the things I would say on the radio was too graphic. I mean, the thing that happened to me, even in my body, that I should not have any more children.
But God
sustained me. It was to the point I could not depend on my sister. I couldn't depend on my friends. I couldn't call on anyone but God.
God. And not because they weren't there, but he just wouldn't allow you to depend on anybody else. But so you had to fight for everything that you had to get it back, and God has brought you to such a place of restoration. And I'm sure there's still things that you're dealing with, but knowing you personally, and I haven't, you know, been near you in a while, but I know you and I've seen you from afar. And the Lord has been restoring you greatly. And so how would you minister to someone out there who may be dealing with some of the same situations? It may not even be the same category, but just feeling like they've lost something and they can't seem to get it back. How do you deal with someone who has to deal with trials and tribulations and have to look forward to being restored? How would you speak to that person today?
Well, I'm going to say this, Gwen. It was not easy. There were times when I wanted to throw in the towel, but it was prayer. It was people who supported me. It was church. I would suggest to those that feel like there is no hope, the devil is a liar. There is hope. When I told God, however he do it, I needed to stop. God did it. He put me in a place. Let me just tell you, when I got to the point when I found out that I was homeless, when they took my children away from me, my son is 18, my youngest son, he was 3 months old. When they took my children from me, I was in Philadelphia riding on the bus by myself, and I had nowhere to go, nowhere. But see, I petitioned before God. That's what's important, to pray, store your prayers. I got before God, and I said, Lord, however you do it, please stop it. And the day that they told me they took my children and I had nowhere to go, I was homeless that quickly. And I said, oh, my God. I said, Lord, when I told God January 4th, 1999, I said, God, however you do it, I said, Lord, I can't take it no more. I said, my soul is dying. Let me tell you something. When your soul is affected and you tell God you're dying, let me tell you something. God will begin to move. He'll begin to move instantly. You hear me? And when I found that I was homeless, had nowhere to go, immediately God intervened for me. And from
that time on,
like I said, it wasn't easy. It's not easy. But if you get to a place, let me tell you something. God will make a way out of no way. It seemed like I stayed in the shelter. I said, but Lord, I thank you. I got a place to lay my head. I had food to eat. It wasn't easy. So I would suggest, if I was to tell somebody, there are support groups. There are many places out there that can help you. Go and get help. Don't let no one tell you, well, stay where you are. You know, God is going to fix it. No, reality is for real. You get around. God can direct you to a place where they will bring safety for you. There are many numbers out there, hotline advocates. There are many mm-hmm. churches that are involved, like you said, your pastor, that can direct you and connect you to places yeah. that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. I praise God that God connected me to a church that I served mm-hmm. there for 16 years, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it was such a blessing. And then the connection started, it just took a domino effect. People were blessing me, you know, my children, because I lost, when I tell you, I lost everything, but I didn't lose Jesus. My life. I didn't lose my soul because God brought
right.
me out. He brought me
yeah,
out.
So you,
but let me tell you something. People of God got to stay before God. You got to stay before God.
So you birthed a ministry that called SIT, or Sisters in Touch.
Right, SIT.
And this ministry
uh-huh.
is okay, it is called SIT. So this ministry is a supportive type ministry for situations that women go through. And is that correct?
Yes. Yes. When
okay.
I started this ministry, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go
yeah,
ahead.
When I started mm-hmm. this ministry, when I went through the process, because it's so much to tell, I couldn't tell it all. But I just say this
okay.
at the end, what happened was my ex-husband was arrested for murder because of a child
mm-hmm.
He had beaten, and as a result of the beating, the child died. So, of course, they had and him as suspect until they, you know, went through the process and they recognized that I was a victim as well. And to get my children back, they put me through so much. I didn't understand it when they put me through this. I'm going to make it quick. But I had to go through, you know, parenting classes, women's support groups, and different other things in order to reunite with my children. And when I went to the women's support group, I was encouraging the women there, and I'm going through what they were going through. So I was in church.
Right.
The Lord said, have a women's support group. You've been through it, so you have one called
My
Sisters
God.
In Touch, Sisters in Trouble, Sisters in Turmoil, Sisters that have come through will become Sisters in Triumph. And so now I'm bringing it up to date, Sisters in Touch, number two, bringing it to this time, the millennial, you know. So this is
great.
God birthed me out, and now I want to get connected to the court system. So mothers that have had their children taken away from them, they are required to go through women's support, you know, group. And I want my organization to become connected to that. And then they will come for so many weeks.
Oh,
and once they've completed the process, then at the end, it's a certification to show the court that they did go, you know, they were a part of the women's support group.
Awesome. And is it open or a closed group?
Oh, it's open. It's open. So right now, I'm trying to get a facility, you know, to have it and get on the hotline. You know, I'm going through the process now. The Lord is, you know, taking me through. So once I get that up and running, I'm excited, you know, that, you know, I have
all
women
right.
come or call and stuff like that. So it'll be here for now in Atlanta. But eventually I know it's going to, you know, just bring out, you know, branch out into other states.
Well, our time has run out, and there's so much we could talk about. But what I want to do is I'm going to talk to you some more, and we're going to have to get you up and running online so that we can actually share your information with others and allow them to get more information. I'm so glad that you joined us today, and I'm going to let you take this last 10 seconds to say a quick prayer and take us right on out of here. Everybody, we love you.
Yes.
This is Elder Jane Cottrell leading us in a prayer.
Yes, and you can reach me quickly at jane.cottrell@yahoo.com. Father, we thank you for this time.
Jane.
Lord, we hope that what has been said, we hope what has been said has touched someone's life, and Lord, that it will bring change, it will bring healing, and it will bring deliverance. We ask you to bless us and to keep us and bless ladies win, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you again. We love you. We love you. We love you.
We love you more. We love you more.
God bless you. Yes. God bless you.